Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Giants are world champions.
Welcome to the Giants Insider Podcast on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco Giants Insider, Alex Pavlovich.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the podcast. Alex Pavlovich here. I'm here with Ahmed Farid, and I'll introduce him in a second. But first, Ahmed, we live in a world where the Dodgers are not world champions.
So we do.
Congratulations to my listeners. I assume it was about, there might be some Dodgers listeners. I assume it was pretty close to 100% consensus rooting for the Astros last night. Your thoughts on the series and what we saw last night. This is Thursday, by the way. So
yeah,
Astros won last night.
Well, great. I mean, awesome series and two of the best teams, whether you hate them or hate them even more. The Dodgers are just a great team this year, and it was just well built. They spent money, yeah, but they built from within, and the pitching they had, it's just both teams were just fun teams to watch, first of all, and had the star power too, which I think is huge and makes it really relevant and interesting to even non-baseball fans out there. So I liked it. You know, I like the offense. I like the back and forth of it. It's kind of a bummer that it came at the expense of some pitchers that maybe couldn't control the ball the way they had in the past, because you don't want to see it to be a different game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like this, I think the slick balls, I don't know for you, but it ruined it a little bit for me that the pitchers couldn't do what they wanted to do with the baseball that they could do in the regular season.
See, I don't know what to make of that, because you look at a guy like Kershaw and everybody goes, in Houston, he maybe had some issues, and Verlander maybe had some issues. But then you look at what they did in Los Angeles and you think, maybe, I thought it was the ballpark more than the balls, when you look at like Puig's homer that got out, and
Darvish didn't seem comfortable,
but he wasn't comfortable either way. I know there was some concern today that maybe he was tipping pitches and things like that. For me, I watched this through the prism of the Giants, and not out of fandom or anything, but just because I probably watched 100. I don't know if I watched 162, but I got pretty close this year, and probably 140-something in person. And so you watch this series, and I watched Springer and Bregman, and not Bellinger in this series, but we know what he can do, and Seager and Chris Taylor, and you just kind of go like, it's a little bit of a different game than what we're watching every night. And I guess if you're the Giants, you have to watch that and just figure we're going to go a different way and do it with our guys going 7-8 innings. But it does seem like, whether it's the ball or whether it's the ballparks, they're playing a different game right now. And we'll get to the coaching staff and all that and what they're trying to do. But it's a little bit of a different game, and they don't have these guys.
No, and the Dodgers did that. And Houston did that all year. I mean, Kershaw went 7 innings. Most of his starts rarely went 8. I mean, they really did. It wasn't just the postseason where they were doing it. They really did it in the regular season. But it's funny. It's like I almost think the pendulum swung too far in the other direction. It was like they knew that they wanted to go to the relievers early. But then you go to a 7-game series, and some of these guys are taxed, you know, and just they just didn't have it. Some of them did. I mean, Houston seemed to be able to pull it together the last game there. Of course, they went with Charlie Morton, extended him, and Peacock. But yeah, it's, you know, the Washington Nationals had success extending their starters because they have good ones. So it can be done. They won a ton of games doing that. Yeah, I mean, it's the Giants are going to have to zig while everyone's zagging, and the starters going deep, and the home run game offensively too.
What did you think watching? This is what stood out to me, and I tweeted about this. I mean, just watching the power and just trying to figure out, you know, some of these games where they're getting 3 or 4 home runs, trying to figure out like who on the Giants can do that.
Yeah,
and it's, I'm curious to see going into next spring and into this offseason, you know, everybody's going to talk about free agents, but you also talk internally, a guy like Chris Shaw potentially is you look and you say, look, this guy's 23, at least he can lift the ball, at least he can tie the game in the seventh inning, in the eighth inning, a one-run game. I'm curious to see if their evaluation of him changes at all because of what we saw for the last month.
Or if he's around. I mean, I don't think they're
that true.
I mean, yeah. Right? You know, you don't know, because if you want
to... You love to put people on the trade block.
I mean, it's just super interesting for me. I know I already put Joe Panik on the trading block.
I saw that.
But, like, for a team that, needs power, that, you know, it was funny, though. They said, it'd be nice to get the power, but at the end of the year, they were talking about their outfield defense more than anything, which I found that interesting. But you got to imagine that they want to explore Giancarlo Stanton. They want to explore what they have internally. I mean, the bummer is that Ryder Jones wasn't that guy for him last year, because I think they had a lot of high hopes. Bochy was, his praise for Jones was effusive in the power
from
that he
spring
had.
Training. I mean, we saw it against the Dodgers. He was a guy, I think, hit a 3-run homer in the eighth one day, and you're like, oh, they don't do that. Mm-hmm. But Ryder just did.
Yeah. And so, I mean, because they don't, that was the biggest issue, is that, they don't have the power game. And then often their big time scoring innings where they were going station to station. I mean? So it's like you're not getting the big 3-run home run. You have to single them to death. And it was just, I mean, obviously, as we saw, it's just not a good formula for success.
Right. It is officially the offseason. It's November. We will spend the next, winter meetings are about December 10th. So we'll spend the next 5 weeks.
Wait, where are they? Where are the winter
Orlando,
meetings?
Orlando, unfortunately. I don't know why we go back to Orlando every once in a while, but
that was just a 3 years ago or something.
It
like
was
that.
Orlando oh, twice at, in like four years is brutal.
A Disneyland resort, I remember that. And every time that I would go up to the front desk, they would go, "Have a magical evening."
Yeah,
it's like go, I'm here for work.
Yeah, not here. So the next 5 weeks or so, we will be reacting to a lot of Stanton rumors, a lot of JD Martinez rumors. I will get to that in a second. First. I teased this a little bit 2 or 3 weeks ago. We have changed the way we've done podcasts. And part of that is there's going to be – what I've done for the most part, this is like number 52, is just basically have an interview with a player, a coach, an executive, and that stands alone. And what we're doing now, we're still going to have that, but we're going to extend these a little bit. They're going to be more regular. You and I are going to talk more baseball, which we do every day of the season anyway.
Yeah.
For me, it's cool because I do a lot of radio interviews. I know I talk to people at the ballpark a lot, but – that hasn't really translated over to this, so we're going to talk just a little bit more baseball and a little bit more reacting, and we're going to do some things, I think, with segments. I've said this in the past, send me your questions specifically for the podcast, because we have more time here. We can dig deeper into it. We are both advanced stats guys. We can dig into that if you guys want to get into that.
It's hard to make good TV sometimes with advanced stats. Probably hard to make good podcasts.
Maybe hard to make good podcasts.
We'll do our best.
We will find ways to teach through that. So we're going to do this as often as we can. We are still going to have
the team now.
He is part of the team. We're bringing him in.
Okay.
We're still going to have the interviews. We're still going to do all that. But just there's going to be a lot more. Just I think reaction to what's happening with the Giants, which we do every single day, but it is also I think good in podcast form. And so to start that, it was a surprisingly busy October. I usually like when the Giants are not in the postseason to disappear and not have to do anything. And I think I wrote probably like 6 articles in the last couple
you
weeks.
You can never do that, right? It's always like, here, the end of the season. No. Here you
are. But this was a weird one because it's not players, it was coaches. And I've written about this a little bit. I've tweeted about it a little bit. Alonzo Powell is the new hitting coach. That happened last night during the game. If anybody missed that, he is the assistant hitting coach for the Astros, which to me, I don't know much about him. It's hard to know much about an assistant hitting coach. I don't think outside of San Francisco, people know much about Steve Decker. But you tell me you got somebody from the Astros, and I feel pretty good about it. Because not just because they won, but because of what they've been doing and the way they're teaching their hitters. And you assume he had some hand in Bregman and Correa and Altuve. And these guys are super talented, but you assume he was part of that. So I like that hire. I'm still a little bit baffled by Dave Righetti and what happened there. I don't think Dave wanted to leave that job, and I'm curious to see where they go with that job and what kind of input Dave has going forward. But the staff, I think, in general is shaping up. Wotus is a guy I definitely thought they had to keep, and I think he'll be good at third base. I know Hensley Mullins took a lot of heat. I think he's a good coach. I think he's done a good job with those hitters for the most
clearly
part.
Clearly the Giants think he's a good
they
coach.
They think he's a good coach. I don't necessarily buy totally into the succession plan that some people floated out there. But look, they wanted these guys in the organization. So those are my thoughts. What did you think the last couple of weeks as you're watching these things come down, starting with the hammer with Dave Rigetti and, yeah. and the ones we all knew with Mullins.
Well, it's funny, and we talked about it in September. We heard some rumblings that the coaches are getting talked to. And
yeah.
Not just the coaches that maybe you thought were possibly in trouble, but every coach. They were talking to every coach about roles that they might want to, you know, partake in the future. And so at that point, you know, the Dave Rigetti thing was shocking that it actually happened. But I think from what, you know, you had heard around the team, what we'd heard is that, you know, stuff was going to change and they were going to find new roles. And, yeah, shocked, but I mean, also excited to see some of what these ideas the guys have. Like Houston, you look at Houston, the Dodgers, they not only on the major league side did they, you know, they saw their guys hit home runs at astonishing pace, even, you know, even more than what we saw throughout all of baseball. And that wasn't just at the big league level. That was all the way down to the minor leagues. I don't think any other two pro franchises had more home runs, majors to minors, than the Dodgers and the Astros. And so there's something that's going on there. It's, you know, drafting, scouting, but it's also development of these players and strategies. So I'm excited to see what the Astros guy can do with that. But I think, and the Giants kind of did it in their way too, Alex. I thought, you know, it's not like they kicked guys to the curb necessarily. Phil Nevin, but he was
yeah, they just never, you never leave the short, you know, they say forever right? Giant, but it extends to coaches.
Which I think is, you know, special about the Giants. And Dave Rigetti was given the choice to stay on and obviously chose that. And it's, I'm sure they're happy to have his input still just in a different role. But I do think a lot of, and I'm sure you've heard this too, oh, it's, you know, it's not the coaches. The coaches didn't go out there and score one run a game or, you know, the blow a ninth inning lead. But you do have to say, I mean, if you say the coaches have no effect, I mean, I think that's a little bit disrespectful to the coaches.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they are there. If they're not there to help the players perform better, then what are they there for? So I think even they would say that, yeah, I mean, they should be held accountable for the performance of the players. Of course, it's a lot on the players, but if you don't feel that the coaches do anything, then what's the point of having them? So I think it's different voices. I'm going to be excited to see how it changes everything. You wonder how Bruce Bochy is going to handle all these changes and what he thinks right now of the changes.
I'm glad you brought him up. We talked to him briefly last Friday. I have a general sense from talking to other people of how this all went down, and I really truly believe that he has been hands off for the most part with this. This is Bobby Evans putting his stamp on the coaching staff, which he has done throughout the organization, and you know at some point that might come down on him, but this is Bobby making moves that he felt the Giants needed to make. And
are you surprised that Boch couldn't say no, or maybe had more control to say no, or maybe did not a desire to say? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Once they get in that room, if they say we've made the decision, Dave Rigetti's getting bumped upstairs. If anybody has the power to say, well, no, Dave is staying on the field. And look, Dave. Boch went out of his way when we talked to him. He talked to the beat reporters last week, and he complimented Dave. And
would have been an interesting power player, right?
And he called him, you know, kind of an icon. He said we don't win three titles without him. And the one thing I'm curious to see, Dave was so good at going out to the mound and knowing exactly what to say to a pitcher, whether he was struggling, whether they were trying to get him through an inning. And just get it. We saw it all the time. People tweet about it. You say, what did Dave just say to that guy? Because there were two runners on and two outs, and he went out there and said something, and the next thing you know, they're out of the inning. So I think Boch is probably a little bit curious from that respect. I do think from what I've heard, they're more focused on a veteran coach there, bringing in somebody who has experience, and that might help make it a little bit easier. So some of the names that are thrown on, I know they like Dave Island, who is the Royals guy. He's now with the Mets.
Yeah.
But that seems to be the type of guy.
The big names have found spots already.
Yeah, seems to be the type of guy they're looking for,
right.
Who might be a fit in a Rigetti type that'll make it easier. Just but
different
look,
different ideas.
Yeah, it certainly is going to be interesting because it is a lot of guys. And from everything I heard, when they decided to make a change at third base last year, Bruce Bochy said, or they told Bruce Bochy, go and pick a guy to be your third base coach,
right.
And he picked Phil Nevin. Right. So that's kind of what we've been talking about for the last month. Now it is November. We will be talking about players a lot, whether it's realistic or not so realistic. I have my beliefs on certain guys, but I did one thing I put out there a couple weeks ago. I said, look, I like I mentioned earlier, want your questions. We're going to take some of that. That'll be one of the segments we do here. We'll figure out over time what works and what doesn't.
Anything you ask, we will answer.
That's it doesn't even really have to be like a, what do you think of player X? I mean, there are things
like
maybe.
Like a restaurant spot.
Exactly. What's your favorite restaurant spot in San Diego? The Tin Fish, easily. But yeah, if you go to a city, want to know, or if you want to know something about the way we go about things, what it's like working with the analysts, things like that. Happy to get into anything. But
is Tim Flannery as crazy in person as he seems like on TV?
Yes. He's absolutely is.
Yeah.
So you must have some Flann stories we can share over the years.
No, I can't share any of them. All right, that's how crazy it is.
He is pretty crazy. I want to shout out Chris Rote, who was the first one to take me up on this offer.
Okay.
And he asked us as far as the offseason and said, for the podcast, is a JD Martinez, Mike Moustakas duo realistic? And I'll get into those guys separately. I've heard Moustakas a little bit connected to the Giants, not just by fans, but you know, people who start putting together these offseason lists of where's this player going to go, what's realistic. I don't see it at all. I think it's going to be expensive. I think he's the type of player who has, you know, they should be staying away from. The guys who are getting older, the guys who are, you're paying for what they did in the past. Also, I don't think a great fit in that ballpark. And when you look at all the holes they have to fill, the one place where you can potentially see a guy internally fill that hole on opening day is third base to me. And Christian Arroyo, I know he's had a rough go with injuries, has it again, I think, in the winter league.
Yeah.
So it's going to be rough for him. But it is a place where I think you can fill that hole with guys that you have. So I don't see spending the money there. Martinez
and Moustakas is coming off. I mean, he's coming off a career year.
Yeah, so you're paying for what he did in 2017, which is always rough. I'm sure the Giants will be connected because that's what agents do, and he is a good agent. But Martinez also, I believe, just signed Scott Boras. Or
I didn't hear that.
Maybe, maybe I'm wrong on that. Either way, he has a good agent too.
Yeah.
It was funny to read that and then to read that question and then see a tweet from John Heyman who reacted to Justin Upton getting an extra year on his deal and said Martinez can now ask for $7,150, which might seem like a lot, but he's certainly going to ask for a lot, and I think he's going to ask for far more than not just what the Diamondbacks can pay, but what the Giants can realistically pay.
That's interesting. So you, because I thought all along, I was like, oh my gosh,
perfect fit, right?
Perfect fit. Yeah. Arizona obviously likes that ballpark. I think they're just going to. You know, that's a match made in heaven. He's going to want to stay there. But, yeah, I mean, if he's going to make that much money, then other teams are in play. And I already got Zach Greinke making his $35 million a year, though. You just didn't get the feeling at all from hearing from the Giants. And, of course, we got to talk to them after their press conference.
Exactly.
You just didn't get the feeling at all that they had much interest in any free agent. Just Bobby Evans even said as much. You're paying for guys who are on the, you know, probably the wrong side of 30 and the skill's going to be diminishing, and they've gone down that road. And that's part of the reason they're in this problem right now is they got some commitments to guys who are aging, and you can't really walk away from them. So, yeah, it's just any free agent that's not a, okay, that guy would be nice to have, and useful player and not that expensive, I don't
like
see.
Like a Nick Hundley type.
Right.
Nice to have, not that expensive.
Yep.
Yeah, we had a press conference, and then you and I sat down with the executives that we ran some of that on the podcast, also did a show and talked to them before that and after that, and just never got a sense, like you said, that they want to spend that much money. And that goes back to the season. I've talked to people in the organization about these guys, and just, you know, they were briefly connected to Upton in September, I think, or right around the deadline there, August 31st, where the Angels ended up getting him. And I asked around a little bit, and just people said, no, like, that's not the type of money we're looking to add. So they've surprised me in the past. They surprised me with Johnny Cueto. I was very surprised when that happened. They have spent a lot of money. They have a lot of money left. But I would be very surprised if this offseason they go out into free agency and do what they've done in the past.
But they do want to – you do get the feeling they want to change the team.
Like, yes.
I do get that
Which
feeling.
We've seen
so
with the coaching staff.
I think some people hear that and they go, they don't want to go into free agency. They're like, oh, great, so we're just going to – reboot with what we got. And so there's going to be some of that, right? I mean, some of the guys aren't going anywhere, and you are going to have them on your roster. But you do get a genuine sense that they do want to reshape the team and that they see that as through trades, you know? And then how do you do that? That's going to be fascinating for me, just watching how they – because I threw Joe Panik's name out there only because, like, I love Joe Panik, and I think the Giants really love Joe Panik and what he does. But if you are going to reshape the team in any meaningful way, who else are you going to give up? I mean, Joe Panik's the guy that I think could bring you back the most. You hope you find a team that values what he can do. You think that, you know, all his home runs happened on the road. So maybe a team's out there that thinks, okay, do we take him out of AT&T Park? He's a 15, maybe 20 home run guy.
You had 10 on the road.
He had 10 on the road, yeah. None at home. So, I think he's got value. And you know, internally then you look at Arroyo at second, Kelby Tomlinson at second, Miguel Gomez at second. Maybe there's some guys you just got to hope on. And you're going to have to do that anyway, so you just hope on them. I think they are going to make a big trade. I'm fascinated to see who it's going to. I mean, I'm curious what you think. I mean, if you're going to change the team, how do you do it?
Yeah, two things on Panik. I think there were two guys who were always mentioned internally as maybe the guys who are the pieces, and it was Joe and it was Brandon Belt. Just because other guys have no trade clauses, that's a big part of it.
And
Belt does now that locked in, but. They were always mentioned. Belt to me right now is untradeable because of the concussions and the money left on that deal. It just would be so hard for anybody to have any idea of what's going on. So Joe ends up by default being the guy on the major league roster that you talk about and that we'll talk about and we'll get mentioned. And, you know, there'll be other guys, like Hunter Strickland, maybe a guy who's getting into arbitration and might be some teams out there. I know the Giants do still like him a lot and do still see him as a piece there, but they maybe feel like they have more bullpen depth than they did if Melanson comes back and Dyson is there. But Joe is certainly a big piece there. And you mentioned some of the guys at second. I do know there are people in the organization who feel that it would hurt, but you could also fill second base more easily than you could fill any other position, whether that's a Christian Arroyo who showed us what he can do at second defensively when he played there a little bit. Kelby Tomlinson, you know, hasn't really been viewed as an everyday guy, but there are some people in the organization who are like, look, maybe – if he does play every day, the speed plays a little bit more, brings a little bit of a different dimension. So that to me is going to be really interesting. We'll end here with the big name because it's the guy we're going to be talking about. I'll probably write about 20 times in the next month unless something happens.
You've already written 20.
I've already written. Stanton is good for business.
Yeah.
So there's so much money. There's $295 million left on that deal. He's also one of the better players in baseball. He is young. He doesn't fit into that category of. You're paying for what he's done. You are paying for what you think he's going to do for the next 5 or 6 years. It's going to hurt after that, payroll-wise, but as much as they have committed for the next 2 or 3 years, they also, you know, at some point you can start sliding him into some of these other. Hunter Pence's deal expires after this year. Denard Span's deal expires. So if you feel like Duggar and Shaw and these guys can make a little bit cheaper, maybe you make the finances there work. I still would put the odds at, like, I don't know, somewhere in the single digits, like 7% maybe. And the only reason I put it even that high, I would have put it about 2% 2 months ago. It just really seems like the Marlins want to shed payroll. And maybe there'll be, you know, maybe there will be a fit there in that respect. We'll see what, to me it makes sense in like Boston or somewhere like that, where you look at a team that's always in go-for mode, and Dave Dombrowski certainly fits that mold. I'll be curious what the Dodgers do now, because they're going to need to do. I think it's hard to bring back the same group year after year, so they might feel like they need a jolt. But there's maybe 5 teams out there that can realistically trade for Stanton, and not at 295, but maybe at 200, maybe it's some number around there. And the Giants are in the mix.
Yep. And what would they have to give up at that point? Would it be enough for the Marlins to want to make a move? But they do seem like they want to shed payroll badly enough. And I think it. You know, underrated, you know, is Stanton going to make this team a playoff team by himself? Probably not, from what we saw last year. I mean, there'd have to be other things. You'd have to have, obviously, a better year from Matt Moore, Johnny Cueto, Bumgarner stay healthy, just offensive numbers from Belt have to stay healthy to get a playoff team. But I do think that they are considering and have to consider the star factor. And, okay, say if you're not going to be a playoff team, you're still going to be a more interesting team with Giancarlo Stanton. So I know it's all about winning, but it is also about being an interesting product. You are in the entertainment business. And so maybe you don't think Giancarlo Stanton is enough to get you into the playoffs, but he's certainly enough to make your team more interesting and more relevant and a better entertainment product. And I think the Giants know that as well as any organization, that they're there to serve the fans and 40,000 people and get them to show up. And while Giancarlo Stanton may not be the entire fix to get you back into the postseason, He's certainly a fix to get people to show up to games and watch him hit home runs and launch him into the Coke bottle in left field. And so, you know, for those that say, it's just not, you got to do more than Stanton, I agree, but I also think he helps you have an entertaining product. And at the end of the day, that's what we want him to win, but we want to be entertained as well, and I think he would do that.
They know that, especially Larry knows that. Their marketing people know that. In this market, especially, we've seen what's happened with the Warriors. We've seen what's happened with the Giants in the past.
Yep.
If you can be entertaining and good, it just goes to a whole different level here than I think it does other places. So, we're going to talk about him a lot, I think, unless by the next
the
podcast he ends up in St. Louis. Yeah. But, you know, to me, I get asked about him a lot. He is the response to, you know, they pick up Micah Johnson the other day, which is fine. It's a guy on a 40-man roster. It's a young guy. Maybe you find something there. That's actually the type of guy, like, get the 26, 27-year-old, not the 35-year-old who we've seen in the past.
But you're saying he won't move the needle.
No, and that's exactly, I mean, I was walking the street, and I get that from the Giants. I tweet it out, and I check my mentions 15 minutes later, and there's 40 people going, oh, like, great. One sarcasm, and you know, half of those people were going, so what about Stanton? So that's where we're at. That's what this offseason's going to be for a while.
Yeah.
And so we'll have a Stanton meter, and right now I'm still down, still around 7%.
But you were at 2%.
I was at like 2% because I really didn't think I didn't think Derek Jeter was going to come in and right away trade.
Yeah.
You know, that to me is like that's one of those moves you make where it's like, hey, fan base, we killed you guys for 15 years.
You were probably at like, 20% that the Marlins would even trade him anywhere?
That's been the change for me, it seems much likelier. It seems like more is coming out. And look, not to knock any of the national writers, but there were a lot of connections made by those guys. And it seems like the last couple weeks, more connections have been made in Miami with the local writers there who, look, beat writers' role is a little bit more ingrained with what's going on. So reading that, it seems like those guys are a little bit more sure now that he is going to be on the block. So that is where I go from 2 to 7. We'll have a meter for you too. Where are you at right now?
I think it's at 20%.
I felt like you were going to go really high.
It's 20%.
All right. We'll check back.
We're still not, you know, still better chances he's not a Giant, but I'm at 20% that they, you know, they get deeper in, they go, you know what, they convince themselves, but we'll see. We'll see.
All right. We will check back on that probably regularly until I go to Orlando and spend 5 nights at a Disneyland hotel, Disney World hotel.
Yeah.
Like I said, I always think everybody
they're talking up Micah Johnson more, and every time you bring up Stanton, then you'll know that Stanton percent needs to go down.
Yeah, it is great when we start talking about the Micah Johnson thing was very subtle, so it wasn't a this is our off season.
Yeah.
As always, thanks everybody for listening. Like I said, we're gonna do some different things. We're still gonna have interviews. I have a couple from the end of the season that I haven't run yet. And look, there are going to be new coaches, new executives, new players. So hopefully we will do what we did last year with Mark Melanson and get those guys in right away. The winter meetings, we'll do some stuff around that too. But we're also going to do a lot of different things here and try to extend these a little bit and make them a little bit more Giants-centric for you guys. So send me your questions that are podcast-specific. And I guess, you know, the people who are into advanced metrics, I know a lot of people who listen to this are like, what do you guys want to know? What do you want us to dig into? And as we talk about last year and next year, we have Professor Fareed here now. So
I'll put on my glasses. You won't see him on the podcast, but I'll let you guys know they're on.
So as always, thank you, everybody. Yeah. We will be back soon.
Thank you, Alex, for bringing me on.
Yeah, I'm happy about it.
We look alike, but you can't tell on the podcast.
I'm clean shaven right now, though, nobody can tell.
It shocked me.
It did. You got the beard. I'm queeching. We'll alternate, so it's not weird.
Yeah.
All right, we will be back soon. Thanks, everybody.
It is out of here in the center field, and this game is over.
Got him.
And that's the perfect game. Swing and a miss. The Giants are world champions.
The Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com.